Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Anthony Heron.
The physical tools are there, and when he plays with freedom and is not thinking, Mitch can perform at a high level. He just needs to get out of his own way, and that's where it goes back to something I said to you guys in the preseason. If Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich can put him in that place consistently, they can get consistent performance from him, but part of that is certainly on him to start a game in that manner, not to allow the game to start to get away from the Bears, not to have to force his coach to find a way to get him in rhythm, but to start a game with aggression, to start a game on fire, to put his teammates in a position where they say, you know what, not only do we love that guy, but that's a guy who we can ride with to win us some games. Because his teammates may not get much better, but when Mitch is at a crossroads right now, he needs to try to take his destiny into his own hands.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Happy Bears Friday. It's brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Herman Moore at 9:40, Hub Arkish at 10, Midday Midway 10:40, Pete Futek at 11. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you can listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? Send a text, 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Also, make sure you download the radio.com app.
Oh, I feel so bad for Philip Rivers last night.
Really?
Yeah, I did. That was just, that got rough.
He's getting like old man quarterback look to him.
He's
a little
entered
bit.
His Chad Pennington phase, it feels like.
But Chad Pennington always looked like that.
He was, well, that's true, but now he's entered his phase of Chad Pennington. He's just, now he looks like Chad. He threw one 35 yards in the air last night in amidst going 0 for 7, and I thought he hurt himself. Like, oh, God, Philip, are you okay? He was, I don't know if you saw this. Ed Werder tweeted it out. Philip Rivers is the first quarterback to go 0 for 7 or worse on the last drive of a game in at least 40 years.
Oh.
That's a rough ending, and I feel bad for old Phil.
He can go home to his 9 children.
Many, many children.
Eight?
You tell me.
8 or 9?
I don't think it's double digits. I don't think so.
It's like the Monty Python. Would you get that one? Every sperm is sacred.
I was thinking more that it's a Caddyshack. Who is this?
Daddy saw me naked.
I don't know.
When you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. The producers, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and that's not the Mexicutioner.
It is not.
No, that's Studs. That's Adam Studzinski.
The marathoner himself.
Doing what the Mexicutioner does. Let me ask you a real question here.
Okay.
Because this kind of came up when we heard Mark Helfrich asked about there was a rumored positional switch along the offensive line.
Yes.
Right? James Daniels, we know this year, they said, well, now it's his turn to be center. Cody Whitehair, even though he was a Pro Bowl center, he's going over to left guard because this is where we think the second round pick is going to play, and now he's ready for it. If, in fact, it's true, because Helfrich did not deny the possibility that would be undone, that Whitehair would go back to center, Daniels would go back to left guard, whether it's to protect Rashad Coward or not, we don't know. He didn't deny it. And it leads me to believe that the fact that he didn't deny it is all but a confirmation of it. What are we doing here? Let me just ask the musical football question. What are we doing here? Because that would be a move that says, you know, we've got to do this. We've got to shore this up. What are you telling James Daniels? And if you still think if you drafted him to be a center at 3-5, are you really looking for these sort of short-term, all-hands-on-deck sacrifices trying to get the scratch and claw to the next victory and drag yourself away from the abyss and get back in this? Or are you trying to do what's best for your personnel to get closer to winning a title?
Well, I suppose the football coach answer to that is, or at least ought to be,
same thing.
Until we're mathematically eliminated, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. Right?
This year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you came into the season with expectations. You have hit an unbelievably rough stretch where all of your warts and all of your problems are on display for everybody to take a look at. Then every one of your comments there in, you know, throughout the week is getting picked apart by local and national media to the point where you've got reporters fighting about what something meant and how literal somebody should take this, that, or the other thing, because everything about how bad your offense has played is on display.
Right.
If you're the football coach, just, you know, that guy, until you're mathematically eliminated from competing for a Super Bowl, you're doing everything you can to win each and every game, correct?
Yeah, maybe a coach would say, well, I'm doing both, and if we got to move Daniels, eventually we'll get back to putting him at his position where we spent an entire offseason preparing him to be ready, and he's not as ready as we thought he would be. But if he's there's still value there. I mean, are you telling him now, yeah, the whole center thing, is that off the table now, or are you eventually going to return to your plan of developing a key player?
So I think then what you're also asking is how linked is the development of James Daniels and Mitch Trubisky? For instance,
I hadn't asked that yet, but I will.
If you're identifying coverages, a Mike linebacker, figuring out who's hot, who's not, who's blitzing, who's coming, who's not, if you have two guys struggling to identify the correct defensive alignments and figure out where you're supposed to go with this, read these protections here, if Cody Whitehair is even a little bit better, if James Daniels is struggling at that, while Mitch apparently struggles at that, now you're down the rabbit hole. You're circling down. So maybe a question to ask, if indeed they do go to this, maybe something to look at afterward is, did Cody Whitehair help Mitch? Is this the last ditch effort, or at least one of the last ones, to help get Mitch back to a level of confidence that he's able to complete some passes, maybe not commit consecutive turnovers on consecutive fourth quarter drives like he did against the Chargers? Is this some sort of stop against the free fall that's been Mitch's production? How linked is his production to his confidence? How linked is it to his ability to diagnose defenses? I think this could be a help here. And for that reason, I think...
So are you done with Daniels as a center if you make that move?
I think you have to do everything you can.
Or if you had a better quarterback, are you saying that Daniels isn't allowed to play through whatever his growing pains are? He's not allowed to learn because the quarterback's so needy?
What's the most important position to get learned?
Quarterback.
To get all learned up. You gotta learn them up. It's the quarterback.
Yeah.
So do everything you possibly can to make sure that you understand where his top level of all learning is, right? That's how I see this Bears team functioning now.
It's so desperate. It just smacks of desperation.
Well, Dan, when you pretty clearly miss on the number of draft picks as they have offensively, whether it be Shaheen, whether it be potentially Mitch, and I say potentially only because we're now talking about, instead of what his ceiling could be, I think everybody kind of sees that. How low is the floor, really? I mean, at least that's how I'm looking. I don't know if you've changed your scopes there, but that's how I'm looking at Mitch.
How long is his NFL career? Mm-hmm. You know, how long does he stick around as somebody's like, oh, okay, there's still something there? I mean, he's not Christian Hackenberg.
No, I don't think he's Christian Hackenberg. But is he a guy where you go, I don't know, you're watching some Chargers game 4 years from now after they've drafted Joe Burrow, and you're like, oh, I forgot Mitch Trubisky's backing up Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? Like, is he that level of guy?
It's like how I felt when Matt Schaub's name came up the other day. I'm like, oh my God.
When can I get a Mitch Trubisky XFL MVP ticket?
Exactly. Is he calling, like, at some point?
I said Zach Mettenberger, right?
No. I mean, no, but is he Derek Anderson getting called by the Bills 3 years from now to come throw a couple of passes? I don't think he's that level either. This is, you're finding out, I think, in this second half of a Bears season, I think everything's on the table for this offense to find out exactly where the floor is for Mitch. I think that's the only thing left to do.
Do you think they've made up their mind on the option?
On the fifth-year option for him?
At $24
million. At $24 million? No.
Or do you think they're still trying to make that decision?
I think, listen, what is it? It's nine next year, so if you still believe that you have a defense that can compete and win a playoff game or get you to a playoff game or what have you, then I think, we talked with Robert Mays about this a couple of weeks ago, then it's worth taking a look, and Matt Miller too, at what your total committed dollars to quarterback will be for a season where you're trying to get something, anything out of the offense kind of thing. I think next year they will then owe themselves, once they've established hopefully what the floor is for Mitch, they'll establish the level of quarterback needed to come in and challenge him. A guy that'll just take the job, a guy that would push him, a guy that's a wing and a prayer, you know, a flyer kind of thing.
Yeah, I like the way you've structured this particular point. And when you said it yesterday, it's like there's a finite amount of space at the quarterback position. And you're trying to figure out how much of that space is currently taken up by the talent or reasonable expectation for Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
And then the rest of it will be filled with a complementary amount of quarterback.
If the measuring cup has one in it, you have to fill it. How much does Mitch take up?
Right.
How much of the rest are you willing?
That's how I saw it in my head as you were talking about it. And then you're deciding how much complementary amount of quarterback you're going to need to bring in.
What's disappointing, though, is regardless of that size, you know, whatever size the quarterback spot takes up, it is so hard to see how the results from that are getting the Bears closer to winning a Super Bowl, like you said.
That's why I didn't try to do that, because you're right, you can't.
It's hard. It's very hard because of the other positions that are still wanting here. I mean, they have seven tight ends on this roster, including the practice squad stuff. Do you like any of them?
Jesper Horsted
seems like a nice fellow.
Seems like a
very
nice,
we enjoyed talking with him.
Guy, a Mastroli Award winner. You can never sneeze at that.
Man's got credentials.
Yeah,
you know,
that's some hardware.
So you like the human that is Jesper Horsted, maybe not the football player.
I like saying Jesper Horsted.
Well, I mean, that's thrilling, obviously.
Jesper Horsted.
But obviously, the tight end
sounds like a Decatur Staley player.
Jesper Horsted, the old days. He's like in. His highlights are all in that jerky kind of black and white film. Everyone's moving just a little bit too fast.
If you told me that the man in American Gothic had to have the name of a player on an NFL roster, and you had to rank every current NFL name and say, this is the name of the man in Grant Wood's American Gothic, it would be Jesper Horsted.
Old man Horsted. What was his first name? Jesper, I
believe it was Jesper.
Yeah, Jesper. Yeah. His wife's name was Mabel, obviously.
Well, sure. This segment is brought to you by Valparaiso University. The satisfaction that comes with living to your full potential is immeasurable. It is a quality of life that Valparaiso University graduates enjoy every day. At Valpo, your full potential receives their total commitment. Visit valpo.edu to request information, to apply, or to schedule a visit.
It's just, it's hard for me to look at this any differently than at the quarterback position, because I think we've got, in eight games already, you've gone through the stages, right? Game one was, we can do this. Throw everything at Mitch. Here we go. Then it was protect Mitch.
And then it's oi.
This is bad.
And
it was, oh, dear God, we have to protect Mitch.
Don't forget, we've had two games where it's like, remind the coach to run the football.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I
put that in the avoid Mitch category, right? The avoiding Mitch. And now I wonder if we're at the redevelop Mitch. And it's not just about that
it's all
guy.
In our own heads, though. That's the thing. No matter what happens, we keep doing this in our heads, and then we watch the game, and they keep sucking. And we're like, well, now it means this, and now it means this, and they're still out there doing the same thing.
I don't know. I don't know that that's true. I think they've sucked in various ways. There's been so many different ways in which that offense has underachieved and made mistakes. Some of them feel the same because they're made by the same players, but some of them are so, like, listen. If you go back into that Chargers game, we were talking to Heron about it just yesterday. There were plays that just got dropped. Tariq Cohen twice dropped a football. David Montgomery just let it go. That I don't know that it ends any differently, but I think you look at the offense, maybe not Mitch, but you look at the offense and go, things are working. They've readjusted some things, some schemes, some routes, some concepts. They worked better. So credit Matt Nagy for working around a quarterback that's not quite working well. That didn't happen. So now you're left to say, we're just constructing this around the offense, when I don't know that that's 100% true.
I keep trying to think of a reason why I default to expecting them to be better. And I genuinely don't know why. Because I'm not a natural optimist. You know that. But there's something.
I do know
But there's
that.
There's something about the start of a Bears game that is a renewal. That is it's refreshed. The ball is kicked off again.
Uh-huh.
This time it will be different. It's just not. And I need to realize that.
Well, I'll tell you what. It ought to be against the Lions.
We keep saying that.
It ought to be different against the Lions.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. The Wildcats take on Purdue tomorrow at Ryan Field. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Let's talk Lions with one of their all-time greats. Former wide receiver Herman Moore joins us next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Herman Moore enhanced his talents to the point of having one of the best seasons ever for a wide receiver.
Herman Moore up for it, got it, touchdown!
1,686 yards with an NFL record 123 catches. 90 of those catches produced first down. 14 more produced touchdowns.
That's one of those you know you're old when there's audio of Pat Summerall talking about you,
yeah.
Right? That's really cool. If at any time, if you're a human being, you know you've been a success on this planet when you have like a Pat Summerall tape.
Summerall sounds official. Like that's
It.
You did it. You got Pat Summerall on the thing. You're good.
So now you know you didn't imagine it. Herman Moore is on Twitter at HMan84, the former Lion. Joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Herman, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, really. Thanks a lot for having me this morning.
Always good. The Bears and the Lions getting set to do it again. Isn't this somewhat strange that all the talk of this defensive expert, Matt Patricia, coming in, and the defense is and the offense is terrific. What happened?
You know, it's a combination of just really not getting to the quarterback with the pass rush. And then there's been some exposure because of that, because the secondary, you know, you get rid of Quandre Diggs and there's been some, you know, backlash on that.
Yep.
However, you get Darius Slay who gets injured for a little bit. And before you know it, all of a sudden you got a lack of a pass rush and you got a decimated secondary. And when you have those combinations, I mean, that's not going to bode well for any team, but it doesn't help when you're the coach, you're the head coach, and you're known for being this defensive-minded genius that came from Super Bowl-winning team, and yet your defense is starting to struggle, and you've made some off-season acquisitions, and it just hasn't panned out the way I think that they expected. But the saving grace, I mean, even to be sitting where they are right now at 3-4-1, the offense has really had to carry the load and really outscore their opponents. And if they don't do that, then get in trouble.
Herman, I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Matt Stafford throughout his entire career. I've got some cousins who live in Coldwater, Michigan. They're huge Lions fans. And Stafford is that guy where he's just, you know, he's ours, and we can obsess over every single little thing he does, but don't you dare sort of thing. That's who he is for them. I wonder how he's been for you over these last, you know, decade or so, and if he's the biggest things that have changed about him over the last handful of years.
What I've seen, you know, Matthew Stafford came in and he was this gunslinger. He was a guy that had the big arm. He could thread the needle, but he takes too many risks. He's just too inconsistent. He doesn't have the touch. And then he went through a few offensive coordinators. But along the way, what has happened, regardless of any of the changing things that were happening around Stafford, he continued to improve. He continued to work on his mechanics. He continued to work on what it meant to not only just the physical side, but the mental side. You know, what does it take to be a leader and be respected? And while he's put up some really big numbers, the only downside and the only knock that most people will have when they talk about a guy like Matthew Stafford is that, okay, how does he perform against certain teams or certain teams with higher winning percentages? How, you know, what has this team done in terms of postseason, not just appearance, but have they had any wins, and how close are they to getting to the Super Bowl? And it always comes down to more than just one player. And we all know that. You got to have the tools. There are some arguments that be made at one point. They had a pretty good defense, and then the offense, you know, had, you know, Megatron still. They had some other good players, but they could never really put it all together. But I really like what I've seen from Matt Stafford. I think he's played at that high caliber Pro Bowl level for the last at least 4 or 5 years consistently over his career.
I'm interested in that you use the term Super Bowl in there, and I always wonder this about a fandom that is as put upon as Lions fans. How, you know, we heard it a couple of days ago. Cubs broadcaster Len Casper grew up a Lions fan. He was on with our afternoon show talking about what he's been through in his life, and his father, who's never, you know, seen a championship here. When Matt Patricia's hired, when it's yet another opportunity to establish something that hasn't been, how daring are the dreams still of Lions fandom? Is it, do people still say, win a championship, get us closer to winning a championship? Is the standard, does it remain that high? Does the fandom still say, we're going to hold the Ford family, we're going to hold this organization to this idea of winning the Super Bowl?
I think that has kind of been subdued. And right now, I think they're just looking for a competitive team. You know, when you get an organization or you get a fan base that is cheering that the team is competitive, whether it equals wins or losses, it means the bar has been kind of, you know, brought down just a little bit. This is a fan base that wants winners. And they'll stick with you through thick and through thin. But at the end of the day, they want a champion. And there's, I think every player who's ever played for a team will make an argument to say, hey, we got the greatest fan base. But I'll tell you what, the Detroit Lions fan base it's got to be one of the most loyal. I know there's others who won championships. They have a high level of expectations, this Super Bowl or bust. With the Lions, they're just wanting to see this team take the next level and then consistently stay there. You look at throughout the NFC North, there's teams that have made that leap, and every year now it seems like it's this top two or three teams that you keep talking about with the opportunity to win the division. And the Lions are always that team that may make a run, that team that may be able to do it. And at some point, it's got to evolve beyond that. And they've had the team, they've had the players, but right now, I think they're getting very close to, if this team doesn't consistently have postseason play and opportunity to even have a chance at going to a Super Bowl, I think it's just going to continue to go downhill.
Talking with Detroit Lions wide receiver and legend Herman Moores here on behalf of Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. They offer vehicle maintenance and repairs for all makes and models at more than 800 locations nationwide. They're the title sponsor, of course, of the 6th annual Quick Lane Bowl. Herman, when you watch the Bears offense this season, what's loudest to you on the film?
You know, offensively, it's where do they find the consistency? Is it you got to get the consistency in the run, you got to get consistency in the pass, but then the biggest thing is how do you get it all to click at the same time? And it's not that it's so much a unique thing that you see with Chicago that you don't see with other teams, but you have to be able to have everything working together, and it's got to click. You can have a great defense, and I think a lot of people will make the case, you know, defense wins championships, But you know what? Offense is what really helps drive you there. I mean, you got to be able to compete in the games. And offensively, if you look at where they are right now, they wouldn't have expected to be, you know, where they are in the division. I looked at them as being one or two coming into the season. And right now, to see if they're going to have a chance here, it's going to be a tough run.
We've seen Khalil Mack be close to neutralized. There have been all kinds of ways to scheme against him. Chip blocks, the use of crackback blocks of somebody coming down the line at him, making sure that he's somebody diving at his feet, or teams simply running at him. Are you surprised that some of these opponents have been able to limit his effect on games with this ease, seemingly?
No, I think with this ease, yes. But the fact that they're figuring out schemes or figuring out ways, it's no different than what a defense does to an offensive player. They know you got a dominant player or you got a dominant group of players. They're going to scheme, and how do you take them out? But this has been kind of interesting to watch, to see how teams are really trying to say, hey, we cannot allow him to get in and get strip sacks. We can't allow him to come in and put pressure on the quarterback for errant throws that lead to turnovers or getting us off the field. So if you neutralize him, then it gives you an opportunity to take and at least try and get some plays downfield. It buys you more time. It eliminates they defensively have to now start to figure out, how do we get Khalil the opportunity to make plays and scheme around maybe what other teams are trying to do to our best defensive player.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm surprised.
That's been real interesting to see.
So what do you do? Do you simply move him around? Do you make them identify him? Do you put him perhaps even inside to limit what some of the crack blocks have done?
It depends on how flexible he is as a player. And I think he would have the flexibility to do what, when I played, there were some linebackers that teams would let, basically they're a free roaming linebacker. I mean, they can walk up to the line of scrimmage. They can go inside. They could go outside. They can come from the edge. They really were able to play and have the flexibility to move at will. Do you give that to a player like that? Well, he's got to be able to know and recognize some offense. I think it takes him to a whole different read pattern than perhaps he would have had just playing one position or two. When you get to roam, you really have to be able to almost be a quarterback in the sense that you put yourself in a position that you think not only is creating confusion for the opponent, but you're also putting yourself in a position to be impactful.
Before we let you go, Herman, I wanted to talk about the Quick Lane Tire and Auto trading one uniform for another program. It's really cool. Awarding $10,000 scholarships toward automotive maintenance and repair certification to help veterans transition into the next phase of their lives. So this is what, it's 4 years now? Because I think we talked about this when the program first started.
Yep, it's been going on for a while, 4 years on a trading one uniform for another program. I did a great job there explaining it. And some of the new things that we've done with the program is opening it up for first responders. So last year we started, so you can nominate first responders that could be a part of this, not just our military vets. They can nominate themselves. Veterans Day is coming up here on Monday, but they have until December 6th. To get in their nomination. So if there's someone you know, I come from a big military family, so I will be nominating some people that I do know. I've been around the military, so it's something that's really meaningful to me to be a part of it. And then we're going to announce the winners for these $10,000 scholarships for the automotive maintenance and repair certifications on December 26th at the Quick Lane Bowl, which is the ACC versus the Big Ten. Looking forward to it, and I think for those who don't realize and know what our veterans do for us and also our first responders, they do a lot, and they're the unsung heroes in our community and for this country. So I encourage you to go out, if you know someone, to nominate them for this opportunity that could change their lives and also take away some of the financial burden that we find when we're trying to make those transitions.
Those nominations can be submitted at quicklane.com/scholarships. Herman, this was fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That is Herman Moore, the all-time great Lions wide receiver.
Segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. That's an awesome program. I that is a really
right?
cool program.
Hub is getting ready to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's talk Bears. Let's talk NFL. Let's talk with Hub. He's next. We're Bernstein and McKnight. Keep it here on The Score.
Thank you. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.